you've proven yourself to be a congregation that walks alongside people, that says it's okay if you're having hard times, if trouble is here, it's all right. We're here with you. And if you have trouble standing, well, then lean on us. You know, we might not always do it right, but you've shown me to be a congregation that tries really hard. Praise God for that. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I thank God for you. So we, now, it was just a really quick thing to say. How long does it take to say we thank God for you? I heard someone mention golf. That is not what I told you to say. But look, we've said some goodbye to some of our beloved. We have journeyed through the valley of the shadow of death. We have walked with one another and held hands and helped one another as we have stumbled up, slowly climbing the mountains of grief. And we've welcomed some new friends into our midst as recently as today. And I'm so, so, so happy. Other things we've done too, some of the kids in our community, like 220 or 30 or 40 or 50, what's the number at, Cheryl, for Backpack Pals? 285. There are 285 kids in our community that probably early on this school year, when they got to that first Thursday or Friday, they said, oh no, I'm not going to be able to eat all weekend. And because of the generosity of you and others in the community, those kids have gotten a backpack full of food to get them through. That's amazing. Other things and actions of kindness. Do you remember a year ago, Hurricane Florence hadn't appeared yet? It hit the coast in September, if you remember. It wreaked havoc in many places that hadn't yet recovered from Hurricane Matthew in 2016. And we heard many stories together about places that had maybe just rebuilt just in time for the wind and the wave and the flood to knock their homes down again. Storms like that, they take everything. Now, we're far enough inland that we don't get storms like that to that degree, although we do get some damage from time to time, a tree down, maybe more snow that we can dig out of quickly. But Main Street isn't likely to be underwater anytime soon. Does anyone remember, has Main Street ever flooded? I don't know. We're on a big hill. That'd be a pretty massive flood. I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon. If it does, Noah Paith, the Noahs in the church better start building a big boat because we're in trouble. So when it comes to hurricanes, we don't often bear the brunt of them. We're often the helpers. We were that last year. We assembled a whole bunch of these flood buckets, filled them with cleaning supplies and things to help people muck out, right? We send them down east. We sent, I can't remember how many. It was a whole bunch, dozens and dozens. And odds are we'll put some more together this year. I wonder what it's like. Maybe some of you know. I wonder what it's like to be faced with some sort of devastation or trouble that's so massive that it affects the whole community. You look to the right and the house is gone. Maybe you look to the left and that house is underwater. You look behind you or in front of you and friends and loved ones have died. The hospitals maybe are shut down and you can't get to, like, I wonder, I don't know what that's like. Maybe some of you do. To watch everything that you worked for and built get washed away in a swollen river. To be completely at the mercy of the elements. To have no options. And we know in our world, hurricanes are just one kind of trouble. The folks in Gatlinburg and more recently in California know that there's a hurricane of fire that can sometimes come and just devour a whole town. And in our country, the winds of the economy can shift. We've had that happen here. So that plants shut down and jobs are blown elsewhere. And the riptide that is the man-made disaster of drug addiction, opioids, meth, it can just tear communities apart. Just up the road a couple of years ago, there's a successful Durham family who had to say a tragic goodbye to their son too late. He'd gone out one time, just one time, and made the choice at a party to have too much fun, and the drug that he took was too strong, and that young man never came home to his 2-year-old little girl and his relatively new wife. He never came home. His trouble just doesn't come in the form of big clouds and strong winds. Trouble comes in lots of different ways. I've got 2 kids starting college. We're just discovering for ourselves what it's like to be at the mercy of the winds of big institutions who, with the stroke of a pen, decide whether we're going to owe $5,000 or $50,000. With a snap decision in a late night gathering of friends, one of my teenagers at a party who's there just to blow off steam could turn that night into a life-changing, change-everything-always tragedy. That's the stuff that keeps us parents up at night. The other night I was coming back from the Blue Ridge Mountains. We just spent the afternoon up there near Peaks of Otter, if you've ever been there. Beautiful country. And on the way back in the middle of the night, it was dark out, there was a sheriff's checkpoint. And, well, that, I think, no, don't look in here. Well, my paperwork happened to be in order, but not so for the person ahead of us who was pulled over and getting a sobriety test. Now, that night might have saved everything. It might have saved somebody's life if that person shouldn't have been behind the wheel. It might also have gotten someone that was just getting by caught up into a big mess that was going to take years and years to untangle. Sometimes it seems trouble hits us like a tornado, one of those tornadoes that seems to skip the other houses on your street and takes only our roof off. Other times trouble hits the whole community at once. Remember the pictures after Katrina down by the coast where it just looked like that whole neighborhood, like a Brillo pad, a circular router, just went around and scrubbed everything right to the bare bones ground, except for that one house right in the middle of it. Miraculous. We don't understand why. Even as we speak, there's a huge city in India that I learned in the news this week whose water supply has literally dried up. Millions of people with nothing to drink. The reservoir is empty. Hyco Lake, Mayo Lake, dry as a bone. No place to pull the water from. There are neighborhoods, as we speak, in Syria, where people are starving in their homes rather than brave the crossfire in the streets. There are children and families even closer to home who have fled one country only to be apprehended in another and sometimes separated. And if that's the case, if you're trying to get away from something bad and you fall into and trip into something else that's bad, where do you turn? I was the pastor of a congregation, and in the congregation was a farmer who a long time ago was tilling his field on a tractor. Somehow he had an accident, and the tractor ran over him, ran right over the big wheels, ran right over his midsection, broke his back. He couldn't walk or even raise up, and no one knew he was out there. He laid there wondering if that was the end for him. All he could do was take a handkerchief out of his pocket, and whenever he thought he heard a car going by, he could just kind of wave the handkerchief, hoping beyond hope that someone out of the corner of their eye would see a little white flash of his handkerchief and save him. Well, good news, someone did. But where do you turn at times like that? And when do you start turning? When do you start turning there? I would contend that this morning, the scripture, the Psalms, they say that it's time to start turning now. It's time to start turning in the daytime when the trouble isn't nearby. Imagine if special forces like Army Rangers and Navy SEALs, imagine those folks who go into the world's most extremely dangerous situations. Imagine if they waited until the firefight to decide to start figuring out what to do. If they never trained before. No, rather, in the middle of peacetime, they practice. They discipline themselves. They shore up their reserves. They tune up their equipment. They learn what they can do. If you hear shots, duck. Get behind something. There's a billboard up between here and Durham that shows graphically a car that's in the process of flipping over. And it says, "This is not the time to check to see that your car seat is fastened." Right? No, you do that before you pull out of the driveway. You learn to protect against trouble before you go anywhere. The best time to prepare for trouble is when trouble isn't present. But where do you look? And I contend that the best place to look is in the Psalms. And even this morning, Psalm, right in the middle of the Bible, if you take a Bible and you open it up to right about the middle, you'll find that you end up pretty close to the Psalms. Usually you have to turn left just a little bit. And right in the middle of those Psalms is Psalm 77. I want you to remember that. Lucky Psalm 77. Seven's a lucky number, they say. Doesn't mean anything scripturally, except it's the full day of the week. But it's right. It's easy to remember. Psalm 77. The Psalm is a good one to prepare for trouble. It pulls you in by saying, I cried out for help. I'm in the day of trouble. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I wouldn't be comforted. I would add, because my trouble was too great. Now, we didn't read the part of the psalm together, but it's there. The part that says this, the trouble is so great. The psalmist says this, my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has God's unfailing love vanished forever? Has God's promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? I don't know about you, but my parents didn't tell me to preach that way, or to pray that way, is what I meant to say. My parents did not tell me to pray by saying, God, have you lost your mind? Have you withheld your compassion? Are you never going to be merciful? They didn't say that. I learned now I lay me down to sleep, right? But here in the Psalms, we find a different way of praying for a time of trouble, which will surely come. I heard of a woman once who was living in the midst of the AIDS epidemic. Her parents had both died of AIDS. She was raising a young baby as a single mother. She too had AIDS. Many people in her village had also died. She was so without hope that she named her baby Yesterday, because tomorrow there was no hope, no joy, no promise. With trouble like that, agonizing, rip your heart out, trouble like that, where do you turn? And what do you do? We take great pains to insulate ourselves from the possibility of such trouble. Heck, I've got AAA in case the car breaks down. They can tow that sucker 250 miles with a phone call. We take out insurance policies in case of an accident. We live in nice neighborhoods and good areas as buffers against desperate people and as investments in rising property values. We do background checks on volunteers and staff to make sure we only use the safe ones. We send our kids to good schools to fend off the possibility that they won't be able to get a good job, but sometimes trouble still comes to individuals and to communities. And when it does, we will ask ourselves, if we're honest, has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he withheld his compassion? Is he angry with us? So before we get to such trouble, we would do well to turn to some scripture like Psalm 77, right in the middle. We're invited in by the psalmist, who can certainly empathize with days of trouble. This psalmist probably would have been offended by the old spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. The psalmist would have been like, oh yeah, try me. I got trouble. So what happens next? Now that we confess that we are in trouble, or we might get into trouble, what happens next? Now that we know that we are one troubled soul talking to another, the next thing that happens is the psalmist remembers. He says, then. It's a turning point in this psalm. He's talking all about the trouble and all about the woes. And then he says, then I remembered. Then I thought. Then. It's almost like saying, I'm in trouble. Or we got trouble, or I got no hope, is like a red flag that you'll remember. You'll remember that you heard in church on Sunday. You heard in church, when I'm in trouble, remember what God has done. That's what the psalmist does. Remember what God has done. An Army Ranger learns if you hear gunfire, duck and get behind cover. When a police officer arrives at some tragedy, they're trained to survey the scene and make it safe. You might be walking down a street and some just doesn't look right, or you're walking down with your baby in a stroller and there's a mean-looking dog on the other side. Then you sort of put yourself between the baby and the dog. It's like a human reaction. In the midst of trouble, the psalmist remembers and tells us what to do next. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will think about your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. God is great, for you are the God who performs miracles. And then we heard about the lightning and the smoke and the earthquakes and the water and stuff like that. What that is saying is, no matter how big the trouble seems, no matter how big the storm seems, that God is greater. God is able to see a way through it. Up on that same trip to the Blue Ridge Parkway this last weekend, I was able to look down from one of the ridges and see a storm. Now, that storm looked like it was a gollywash. It was coming down. You couldn't see through it. There was lightning all around. I bet if I was in the middle of that storm, I was like, woo, you know? Get a canoe and float down the front yard. But from a ridge, from the distance, that storm was about this big. I could see all the way around it, and I wasn't afraid. That's what happens when we remember about God's power, God's sustenance. Remember when my people were slaves in Egypt. Trouble was all around them on every side. There seemed to be no way out. Remember that story, the crossing of the Red Sea? Before they got there, the Red Sea, the ocean basically was on one side. Pharaoh's army was on the other side. They had no way to go. It was an impossible situation. And they cried out to God. And God said, oh, as a matter of fact, I'm the God who specializes in making a way where there is no way. And so God took that Red Sea and parted it for them to walk through. And that's what the psalmist remembers. The God who specializes in making a way out of trouble, who makes a way when there's no way, who takes the waters and parts them, who leads them through the very sea on dry land, who delivers them from Pharaoh's hand. God didn't give up on them. God got them through their trouble. He led his people like a flock, and he leads us now. So when we get into trouble, it's almost like the psalmist is giving us something to remember. Oh, I'm in trouble. Woe is me. Wait a minute. I remember I'm supposed to do something. I'm supposed to remember the psalm. It was in the middle. It was a lucky number. Lucky number 77. And we turn to that psalm and we remember the good things that God has done. The writer was so desperate that she wondered out loud if it would ever get better or if God had abandoned her. And that wondering was a trigger for her and for us to remember. Remember that God makes a way where there seems to be no way, just like God led the people through the Red Sea. Last year, we sent a flood bucket to someone whose home had been washed out. When we need it, may we remember to call out to the God who saves, the God who sends flood buckets and mission teams and meal trains and hospital visitors and thoughtful cards and wise counsel and generous strangers and excellent doctors and good medicine and benevolent bureaucracies, if there is such a thing. For you are the God who performs miracles. You are the God who makes a way when there is no way. May we remember that in the day of our trouble. I want you to tell your neighbor something now. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, when trouble comes, go ahead. I will call out to God. My God performs miracles. Always has. Always will.
Always will.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our time of prayer. We want to remember all those who are vacationing this upcoming week and perhaps already there. We want to remember also Joyce Walker Jones. And last week, people shared with me, and forgive me, I forgot to read them during the service, but our prayers are lifted up for Phil Kennedy, for David Ramsey, for the family of Kenneth Crowe, for Faye Howard and Virgie Baxley, for Tom Holt and the family of B. not. We thank God for you, Rob, and for the congregation's love and support after Gail's passing, and continue to keep the Fitzgerald family in your prayers. We also celebrate that Mary Calhoun's with us after surgery. God saw her through that, and she's doing great. And I think you're offering to do cartwheels out. I mean, you're happy enough. Next week we'll do some. But we thank God for you, that God saw you through that. And I'm going to invite Austin to come and share a pastoral prayer with us now.
Let us pray. Here we are, Lord, on our knees, crying mercy. Mercy for our souls, mercy for one another, mercy for our churches, mercy for our nation, and mercy for our world. Here we are again, standing in your presence, in awe of you and your holiness, your otherness, your mystery, and your incarnation. We stand bringing the needs of our friends, family, church, community, nation, and world to lay at your feet. We cry out in pain for the struggles of our world. We cry out for those who are in pain, who are sick, in the hospital or in rehab, they're homebound or in nursing homes, and those who are on their deathbed. We cry out for the divisions and conflict that seems to be in our lives, our families, our churches, our communities, our nation, and our world. We cry out for those who live in poverty, those who are starving, those who are in prisons, and those who live under oppression. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, pour out your mercy like healing, comforting rain. We pray all these things in your Son's name, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.